This interview is with Mr. Raymond Eugene Suggs. Mr. Suggs was born here in Champaign in 1928. He attended the elementary, junior high, and high schools in Champaign. Mr. Suggs also attended Illinois State University in Bloomington, where he studied social work. In later years, he went into a plastering contracting business by himself, and he became a photographer by doing freelance work. In 1960, he then began working as a part-time photographer for the Courier. Mr. Suggs is former president of the Champaign County Urban League and is currently the vice president of the Don Moyers Boys Club in Champaign. This interview is being conducted on August 25, 1983 at his home, 2105 Robert Drive, Champaign. The interviewers are Melinda Roundtree and Patrick Tyler, representing the Urbana Free Library Archives Department. Okay, first of all, Mrs. Suggs, could you tell us your birthday and birthplace?
Well, I was born in Champaign and was born in 1928.
Could you tell us a little bit about your childhood growing up?
Well, I went to Champaign school system, and to, of course, the elementary school, the junior high schools, and the high schools. I played football and basketball during my early days. And I went over to Illinois State University in Normal.
What did you study there?
Social work, and at that particular time I wanted to be a coach, but that didn't work out, so I went into business for myself, into the plastering contracting business, and I also became a photographer through primarily through my own studies and through my own working at it. And finally, Bob Sink asked me to come over to the Courier and to take as a summer replacement for one of the other photographers that was graduating from college. And that was going to be for a 2 or 3 week period, but it ended up for about 18 years.
What year was this?
In 1960, when I first started with the Courier.
Okay, what year did you graduate from? Long?
I didn't graduate. Oh, okay. I quit school to go in business for myself.
Having been born here and went through the Champaign School District, what things did you encounter, you know, being black?
What things did I encounter from being black? You mean as far as race relations? Of course, in those particular times, there was a situation of segregation. But I don't think that I had any particular more problem than anyone else. Those were the signs of the time, that there were certain things that you couldn't do, certain things, places that you couldn't go. But other than that, I didn't have any particular outstanding difficulties. As far as a restaurant, you couldn't at that particular time eat restaurants, but of course that was the same mold of the United States. It wasn't any different here in Champaign or Bannon than it was any place else. Of course eventually that changed in the early 50s or middle 50s or so. I was elected captain of the high school football team, and we which was, at that particular time, was an unusual thing because it was, there had never been a black captain on the local football teams before. But at Champaign, we had a kind of an unusual situation because I was elected captain of the football team. The most valuable player on the team was a black player. And then on the basketball team, was a black captain. So that was kind of an unusual year, or 2 years.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1946.
Okay, you were born here in 1928, right?
Yes.
Do you remember what year your parents came to Champaign family?
No, I don't. They had been here for many, many years.
Did it ever state why they came to this area?
Well, my grandfather came to Champaign-Urbana primarily to work on the railroad, which at that time many blacks came from the South. My grandparents came from Georgia, in fact Monticello, Georgia, to work on the railroad.
Okay, when you joined the courier, did you have to have any kind of special training in photography? Or did you have any?
Yes, I had already, had actually been freelancing some for the courier, so it wasn't just like I just dropped out of the sky and said I wanted to be a photographer. Bob Sink had given me some freelance assignments prior to that. My father's name was Roy, and my mother's name is Claudia. My father passed away when I was about 5, and of course my mother is still living.
Do your mother still live on White Street?
Right. Been by there?
No, I was thinking about college.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit about your work and career and photography work? What kind of pictures you took and different people that you came in contact with?
Well, I was a general. I actually worked part-time. I didn't work full-time for the courier, but part-time. I was primarily the Sunday or weekend photographer, but and also the summer replacement. I work every day during the summer, usually at night. But the assignments were general assignments. Whatever the assignments came up, and that's what I was assigned to shoot. It could be anything from a girl in a wedding dress, or it could be church affairs. At that particular time, we did a lot of church assignments, or it could be officers of newly elected officers of some club or organization, or it could be sporting events, Illini football, basketball in particular, or it could also be high school affairs, sporting events, a lot of high school football and basketball games. Just general, whatever the assignments were. I had no particular, I was not assigned to just shoot black assignments. That was an understanding that was made by the editor to people who called up, that blacks were not to call just particularly for me to come shoot their organizations and vice versa. Whites at the time could not call and say, well, we don't want him to come because he's a black photographer. You know, that didn't go with him. I had an excellent working relationship, though, with the fellow photographers. We got along famously well. we're still good friends today with all of them when I see them.
Do you have any sisters and brothers here?
No, I don't have any brothers or sisters. I'm an only child.
Where did you live? The first place you lived when you grew up? First house?
I've lived on East White Street most of my life. I lived at, on East White Street, and then when I married, I bought a house about a block away from my mother, 509 East White. Lived there for quite a number of years until I built a house here.
Have you been a member of any organization or club here in the Champaign County in the past or now?
Yep. Well, I was used to be one time president of the Urban League, and vice president of the Boys Club. Member of the Illini Rebounders, and the group with the basketball program with U of I. A member of the PIC program with CETA. Of course, I'm a member of Bethlehem Church.
What is the
PIC
program? What is it?
PIC program is a program, it's it's part of a CETA program, but it's geared to businesses that are trying to help find jobs for people. Also been a member of the Community Foundation.
Okay, when you were growing up here in Champaign, how was crime?
Oh, there was crime, of course, but probably not on the on the same same level that it is today. It was a different kind of crime than it is today. People could walk down the street at night without any, generally without any fear of being hit in the head or anything like that. It did not seem to be the one-on-one kind of crime against people that there seems to be today. I don't know if the percentage is higher or what. There are more people, so obviously there's more crime, but basically it was a different kind of crime in those days that you're, rather than what you're seeing today.
Do you think the community when you were growing up was closer than the community today?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, everybody, as far as blacks knew practically everybody in town. They knew each other. Primarily, they lived within hollering distance of each other, so it was a little easier to know each other. Now, blacks are scattered all over Champaign and Urbana. And it's not as easy to know everybody else. So, of course, there are more blacks in the community today than we were then, but
how do you think the community has changed? In what way?
What do you mean? As far as jobs
then,
or as far as
all aspect jobs, how?
Oh, I think that there's been a tremendous change in the community as far as housing. And in those particular days, it was very, very difficult for a black to live outside of the so-called black area. It was very difficult to buy a house, build a house, buy a lot, or anything else. You were pretty well boxed in, but of course that has changed today. You're limited only by economics as to where you can live today. Job-wise, it certainly has drastically changed. Maybe not enough, but jobs are much more open today if you're qualified to do a job. Blacks were pretty well limited as to the jobs that they could do in those days. When I first went with the Curry, it was like unheard of for a black photographer, which, you know, was no big deal being a photographer, but something about the photographer going in and taking pictures of, or at least you were almost invading white territory in those days. But no one would think anything at all about it. It's just a matter of getting used to it. I really had no particular problems when I first started working with the Curry being a black photographer. I was kind of fortunate that a lot of people in the community knew me, and I knew a lot of people in the community. It wasn't like I was someone odd, you know, coming in. So that was made it much easier for me than maybe someone outside the community coming in doing that. But now any black would have no problem whatsoever in being a photographer now with any, you know, with a newspaper or whatever. I take pictures, freelance photography now, and I have no problems as far as, generally speaking, as far as being a black photographer. I probably would have had a lot more problems in those days doing it, you know, as a freelance photographer.
Do you remember the Elmont Times, the magazine? I mean, the newspaper that was here, like, at the start of it.
Mr. Harris? Was,
right.
Uh-huh, sure.
Did you ever write on that newspaper?
I contributed a lot of photographs for them, but I didn't do any writing for him.
Was it, remember how it was circulated in the newspaper?
It was carried around, you know, by individual youngsters. Later on, I think as Mr. Harris got a little older, he probably didn't do that much writing himself, or Mrs. Harris. They did a lot of reprinting what had been in previously printed in the newspapers. And they kind of, what was of interest to the black community or black area, then they took that out of the other newspapers and reprinted it in the Times.
So the newspaper was primarily funded by them?
Yes.
Or did the public didn't have to pay to get the newspaper? Or did you?
I don't remember now whether they paid for it. Or they had advertisers, I'm sure, that, that paid, but I don't remember now exactly what the cost of it was, but you really had to pay for it. I think there was a small amount that they charged, but it was very small.
We were looking at the microfilm that they had in nearby, and it was really, I thought it was a nice newspaper because they had things like people who were sick at home. And
right.
I thought that was really nice. Mm. Okay. The early newspapers, do you remember how blacks were portrayed in the newspapers when you were growing up? Kind of articles they had on blacks, or did they have any
head on? The local
newspaper? Yes.
Unfortunately, blacks were not always portrayed in positive manners, and sometimes I think that's true today. With the one local newspaper we had, It was very, very difficult in those days for blacks to do anything, that had done anything positive, to get any kind of recognition in the newspaper. When blacks did something negative, then it was generally always in the newspaper, but very difficult for a black to get an award or something and get much publicity. Unfortunately, I think that was one of the problems that whites, who really didn't deal with that much with blacks, and only knew about blacks what they read in the newspapers. So what they read in the newspapers were generally negative. So many, many whites had only negative feelings toward blacks. That's all they knew about. They really had very little one-on-one contact with blacks. I know when I went into the real estate business in this community, the firm that they knew me, but they really, one of the partners knew me prior to that. But the other one had never had any kind of contact with a black in his life. And the only thing that he knew was what he had read in the newspaper. And, we sat down, we had a lot of long conversations about this. And so he admitted that he had never knew certain things about what blacks had done in the community, what really they had done, and even nationally, unfortunately.
Do you think
that
the newspapers are better now? Allow blacks to be put in different parts?
Do I think that the newspapers are better as for what they portray blacks as? Well, probably better than 25 or 30 years ago, but not nearly enough. If you will even look at very closely at our local newspaper, you will not find that many positive things that blacks are doing here locally. Not nearly as much as what they're doing. So I'm just saying that, it's changed, but not nearly enough. We're doing many, many more positive things, and of course, their argument is that they don't have the space for it. But unfortunately, they find a space for it if a black happens to have done something not so good. They shoot someone, they find a space for that.
I was wondering, were you the only black photographer at that time?
I was the only black photographer working professionally at the time.
What improvements would you like to see in the future of the newspaper here in Champaign Valley, as far as blacks or anything?
That would take us all day. No, I don't have all day. Well, in a nutshell, primarily, I would like to see some more positive things in print that blacks are doing. As I stated before, there are a lot of things that blacks are doing in the community. I think that other people, a lot of the blacks might know what they're doing, but whites, unfortunately, don't come in contact enough with blacks. They really don't hear about these things. They don't see about them. There's a tremendous amount of talent, young people in this community, but people, they don't know about it. And we could get more publicity about that, but unfortunately, we're one newspaper town, and they can print what they want to, and there's no competition. So, but I don't want to get into it with the newspapers.
Question. Okay. During the 60s, you were working on the tour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did the civil rights movement affect you personally or the community?
Well, it affected me as well as many, many other blacks, in that there were a lot of things that changed here locally in the 60s, as far as employment, as far as housing, entertainment. I can remember the time when blacks only had one particular area in a theater that they could, you know, if they wanted to go to. As I said earlier, blacks couldn't live where they wanted to in the community. I can remember, you probably don't remember the picketing of the penny. Maybe you looked it up in the records, the penny picketing. I think that, in one thing, changed a lot of employment possibilities in Champaign Urbana. It's a picking of pennies. So it not only had an effect on me, because all other blacks had to commit to.
I know in reading we read about that, the pennies, and various other articles, that the church was a part of. Has the church always been involved in the community?
Yes, the churches have always been pretty much involved, because in particular, in that particular area, black churches, that's where the blacks were going in numbers, and so black ministers had the opportunity to do more, you know, a great deal of leading blacks in those days. Not saying that they, you know, can't today, of course, but there probably are more facilities and avenues that blacks can work in outside of the church as far as the movement is concerned. Such as Urban League, NAACP, or organizations like that. Blacks can still work in those organizations, but back in the 40s, those organizations didn't really much exist, of course.
A few people have talked to who say that there's an inconsistency with the church, and how it, you know, like when something comes up, then everybody get together and try to, you know, do something about it, and then, you know, if nothing's wrong, they don't see anything.
Well,
to.
That's probably true. I suppose maybe because ministers come and ministers go, and members come and members go, and so you don't really have that consistency, you know, in the churches themselves. So that probably helps to foster that inconsistency.
That's all the questions that I have. And if there's anything that you might want to add to.
Well, nothing in particular. I think we've come an awful long way in the civil rights movements in the past 20 years. We have a long way to go, probably a lot longer to go than most people realize, but especially employment. But I've been pretty involved in retraining, especially young people, to prepare themselves for different technologies and for the times. Can't stay the same. You have to keep continually moving in new directions.
Okay. Well, we thank you for your time.
What? I enjoyed it very much.